Hello and welcome to Welton's Go Live Sunday.
Today we'll be hearing from Gary Woodall, our good friend from Weaver. Will, Hattie and Joe will lead us in worship. And we'll see a few familiar faces too.
We're so glad you're here and hope that this morning you can meet with God in a special way.
Good morning. Today we continue our teaching series called Changing Times. We have Gary Woodall, one of the regional Baptist ministers, with us, and he's going to be exploring the theme when evangelism looks different. We have Will, Hattie and Joe leading our worship. But first of all, some family news from different parts of the world. Maybe you remember last week we had James and Sandra from Nepal saying hi. We're really delighted to have been able to make a gift this week to them of £500 towards the hospital where they're working and doing ministry. So a big thank you to those who give as part of your love for God and your worship here at Welton. We are absolutely committed to being a generous church that is world reaching, not just in words, but in action. So today's family news, first of all, comes from Spain. The Whites, a family that we really love.
Hi everyone. So yeah, lockdown for us has been really challenging and tiring. We've had quite strict restrictions, which are slowly being lifted, so that's good. But our prayer request would be, I think, for energy, for grace, for patience. We know that God's at work during this time. So yeah, our prayer really is that it works out good for all four of us. Thanks.
Hello everyone.
Sam, how's lockdown been for you? Have you liked it?
I liked it for other people to get well.
What have you not liked about lockdown?
That we can't go out and about really far out.
Do you have to again?
Like go up the mountain.
Leo, has lockdown made you happy or sad?
Happy. Hi everyone, how are you doing? Hope you're doing well. Greetings from Spain. And we're all in this together, aren't we? But we've just starting to come out of lockdown. We've been allowed out of the house for the first time this week to do some exercise. But we've been good, thank you. We're very lucky where we live. We've got a bit of outside space. And we've been connecting with the church community. We've been doing some meetings, some gatherings online, and just trying to love our friends through just messaging and social media, those kind of things. But we're looking forward to connecting in person. We've been told maybe in the next couple of weeks we might be able to start actually meet up with people in small groups, so that would be massive. But sending you lots of love.
Next, a bit more local, Beth and Steve have produced our first lockdown baby. Are you ready for this? Here she is. Actually, no, she's not here, but she is on a photograph you used to have a look at. Say hello to Alyssa. Our love and prayers and congratulations to Beth and Steve and to the whole family. Okay, now if you're not too distracted by that, here's a few more of us just saying hello to one another, because it's important to do it.
Hello from Heather.
And hello from Alan.
Hi from Harriet.
And Frederick.
And Freya.
And Peter.
And Jane.
Hello from Anona.
And from Dave.
Hello from Elaine.
Hello from Catherine.
Hello, hello from George and Ruth.
Hello from the Kurtzmans.
Hello church family, this is Sunday from Nigeria representing Josephine and myself. Thank you.
Hello from Martin.
Jenny.
And Hannah.
Hello, I'm Teresa.
Hiya, I'm Guy.
Good morning from Paul.
Hello from Janet.
And hello from Tony.
Hello from Linda.
Ian.
Joel.
And Bria.
Hi from Ronnie.
Konnichiwa from Josh in my new home.
Hello from Helen.
And Poppy.
Hello from Andy.
Hello from Maria.
Hello everyone, this is Judy.
Hello from the Wilkes. Hello from Simon.
Hi from Meg.
Hello from Karen and Martin.
Hello from Amanda. And
hello from Glenn.
Hello from Barbara, God bless.
Hello from Birmingham, from Esther, from Thor, Chuckle and Mikey.
Hi from Karen.
And from Mike.
You may remember me mentioning the kind of what next question as we come out of lockdown and kind of move into this phase two, as it were. Not back to normal, but a time when we get to discover afresh what it means to be God's people. What's most important? What are the opportunities that we have that we didn't have before? What have we learned and so on? Well, we met again this week as elders to pray and to prepare, and it was a really good time. The deacons too have been active in prayer and exploring our next steps as a church, and we're feeling really confident. I want to share with you my sense of excitement that has kind of been, I think, renewed this week. I was struck by my Bible readings over the last few days. The enemy has nothing new up his sleeve, no creativity whatsoever. But our God does. He is so creative. And I really believe that we're going to see a new wave of creativity in the way that we follow Jesus. It's a creativity that comes with this kind of deep passion in realizing that we have everything we need in Christ. You see, God sees each stage, each step, all the possibilities. And I believe he says, try this. Trust me. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But think about some of these questions. Where do we gather? How do we worship? Who do we meet with in our small groups? And how do we meet? How do we share our faith with work colleagues and people across the garden fence? And who from our communities are we going to partner with in the future to see a lasting transformation? And how do we use these gifts that maybe we're discovering or we're about to discover in this new space? What about these words again? Try this, trust me, from our God. Just for a second, I want you to imagine the disciples back when they were midway through their three-year journey with Jesus. Imagine just one of them, and imagine it's you perhaps, waking up in a new town, which is kind of like where I think we're going to find ourselves when we're through this together. And imagine just looking about, thinking about the day ahead, thinking about Jesus, what you've seen before, and then pondering, what will he do today? It's a good question, isn't it? What will our God do today? And I'm guessing for those disciples, there'd have been a measure of trepidation, but also a whole load of expectation thrown in. And I believe that's the kind of season we're moving into. I believe increasingly in this next phase, the Lord is going to be saying, try this, trust me. And I'm excited about us saying, Lord, we will. Prayer is such a key part of what makes us tick as God's people. And we've been sensing for some time a call to press into God in prayer. And this is already happening in a kind of variety of different ways, which are good. But there's more that we can do to engage and go deeper in prayer as a church family. I'm really excited about this one. From tomorrow, the 18th of May, and there's going to be a Welton 24/7 prayer sign-up page online. And it's an opportunity for us to link in as a family to pray together, to commit to chunks of time of getting hold of God and praying his kingdom come. You can access the website and you can book in if you're up for that. The address will appear on the screen. There's also going to be a Welton Prayer blog, which again, it's linked to this. And I think it's all part of this developing picture of how we grow in prayer. And it aims to encourage us and to stimulate us. And it's Jeremy and Linda, a couple of the leaders here, who are putting this together. They've given it the name, The Hour to Pray, which I think is really appropriate. Again, the website address will come up at the bottom of the screen. So, we want to take a moment as we come to worship, to pause and to pray. And some of us, we've not been out for a number of weeks. And so this prayer is a little bit different. I want to invite you to keep your eyes open. To watch the images on the screen. And if you're not local, forgive us, but enjoy where we live. If you're local, then watch and pray as we're looking on.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for the communities you've placed us in, for local businesses, councillors, voluntary groups, churches and schools. We thank you for the amazing natural beauty we get to live in and enjoy. Help us to pause now to appreciate this more. As we do, thank you that the earth is getting a chance to heal. We thank you for those who are still working, often putting themselves at risk to serve others, provide medical care, to keep food on our tables, and to look after those who struggle on their own. We pray for our town and surrounding villages. Lord, as people are caring more for one another, we pray this would be something that becomes part of who we are, a kinder and more caring community. We pray for those who are isolated, those struggling with mental health issues, those who are grieving, and those who are lonely. We ask that you will be a comfort to them right now and in days to come. Draw near to them. We pray as people around us search for answers, they will have an openness to the God that made them and loves them. As they look at your creation and the kindness of the people around them, cause them to look to you and hear your voice of love. We pray that fear would be removed from the places we live, because you live in us and your love casts out fear. We thank you for where we live and say we trust you to increase your presence in these places. In Jesus' name.
Hi, it's great to be with you. We're experiencing a time that most of us have never experienced before, the experience of social isolation. But does this mean we put evangelism on hold until we can engage face to face with people again? I want to suggest there is no better time to reach a community than now. COVID-19 took the world by surprise, but it was no surprise to God. This is a season of opportunity to bring hope to a watching world. So how can we do evangelism when we're isolated? Or maybe a better question to ask is, how can you and I be Jesus to others in such a time as this? As disciples of Jesus, we have a unique opportunity to share the reason for our hope. 1 Peter 3 says, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared. The Apostle Peter tells us that we should be prepared at all times, in all situations, even during this time of social isolation. Always be prepared to give an answer. As believers in Jesus, we're to be ready to explain what we believe and why we believe it. We're to be ready to answer questions about our faith when asked. I believe at times we become afraid of this part of the verse. This passage does not say we need to have an answer to all the questions that anyone may ask. We should always be prepared to answer the questions, why do you believe? What do you believe? The verse continues, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, to everyone. The questions could come from family, friends, acquaintances, it doesn't matter. We should share with anyone who cross our paths. In the light of any tragedy, when people's felt needs are greatest, they look for answers. In my experience, this does not mean having a watertight, comprehensive apologetic to their questions. They're really not looking for this. It does mean giving an answer to their felt needs. This may come in the form of questions such as, why would God allow this to happen? However, the question could be more open-ended, like, what should I do? Maybe God will even open up the door for more direct questions from a friend, a family member. As a Christian, what do you think about these events? These are the kinds of questions we should be ready to answer in order that we might be able to point people to Jesus. Share with those you're with, what would you say in response to being asked, as a Christian, what do you think about these events? Peter focused on hope, the hope that's in you. During challenges such as COVID-19, it's easy for people to lose hope, because many people do not place their hope in anything beyond this earthly life. So when our earthly life seems to fall apart, hope seems to disappear. As followers of Jesus, we know it's the gospel which gives us hope. Titus 1 tells us, the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Because of the gospel, we have hope in Christ, his rule, his reign. We have hope and security in our eternal life in Christ. Then the verse continues, do this with gentleness and respect. Our end goal is the communication of the gospel, not to win an argument, not to have a rock-solid argument for our present situation. It's not simply the transfer of facts about Jesus in the Bible. Our response to people about faith should be with gentleness and with respect, and should be based on our lives in Christ. For instance, Tom at Wooden Under Edge took a funeral with five people attending and others joined via the internet. A member of the church who did gardening maintenance had previously shared his faith with the man before he died. Consequently, Tom had conversations about science, faith, and Jesus with the man too. This all came about because Mark the gardener shared his faith and invited his client to church. What about Richard, a member of Hillsfield Park Baptist Church? He's had the opportunity to have one-to-one conversations about Jesus with two people following their Facebook Live services. Richard was able to do this because he was able to share the reason for the hope we have. These conversations would not have happened without lockdown. What about Anne at Beacon Church? She'd been sharing her faith on social media and offering to pray for her friends. Because of offering to pray with them, a number of her friends had come to faith. She had the courage to offer prayer. What about Cirencester Baptist Church? They've had lots of non-Christian and fringe people come along to their online services. On the back of this, they've started an alpha course with 20 new people coming along. One of those attending spent an hour and a half on the phone discussing the evidence for the resurrection, Richard Dawkins, Genesis, the problem of evil. This wouldn't have happened without lockdown. Unique challenges of COVID-19 comes unique opportunities for us to engage with those who are not yet Christians, family, friends, or even neighbours. This leads me to the second opportunity we have as followers of Jesus in the light of our present circumstances. As disciples of Jesus, we have a unique opportunity to love our neighbours as ourselves. Mark 12 says, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. In the Old Testament, we're told just to love our neighbour. Jesus, however, commands us to love our neighbour as ourselves. This requires an even greater commitment. With unique challenges come unique needs. I've already discussed the spiritual needs, especially the needs of hope. We're also presented with the opportunity to meet people's tangible needs, whether physical or emotional. This can take different forms. Offering to go shopping for an elderly neighbour. Contacting someone who's on their own, self-isolating or a single parent, just to let them know that they're loved. You may know someone who has lost their job or is struggling financially during this crisis and offer them financial help. Of course, in all these suggestions, use wisdom and discernment. When we first began to social isolate, I went to every door in the road with an invitation that I'm only a telephone call away if any of them needed any help. Within an hour of posting these in people's doors, we received text messages to say thank you. Following this, on Good Friday, Joe and I went to every home, knocked on every door and left a gift, a card, a palm cross and an Easter egg for every member of the household. Again, it opened up amazing opportunities to speak with people I so often wave at, but I don't even know their names. One neighbour telephoned me the other day and asked for prayer. An interesting opening line, I know you're a person of faith, can you pray for me? He was about to attend an appointment to the hospital. He would have never telephoned me before, but as a result of our present situations, it's become an opportunity for a real God moment. I invite you to tell with those you're with what you believe God is asking you to do to love your neighbour. above all else, pray and ask for the Spirit's leading. Perhaps he wants you to do something else, which I have not mentioned. Be obedient to the Lord Jesus' leading so that you can be a blessing to a watching world. Let's see how this is worked out in Acts 16.
Paul and Silas were on their way to a place of prayer. They were met by a female slave who had a spirit in her that could predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed us and shouted at us. This was disrupting, and so Paul ordered the spirit out of her. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they dragged Paul and Silas to the authorities, and they were put in prison.
At around midnight, these two very positive prisoners named Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The rest of us were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the prison shook. All the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, saw all the doors open and drew his sword to kill himself. He thought all the prisoners had escaped, but Paul assured him and shouted that he should not harm himself. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and lay in front of them, trembling. The jailer accepted Jesus Christ, and his whole family was baptized.
In many ways, our self-isolation and lack of freedom is similar to that of Paul and Silas' experience. Paul and Silas had done nothing wrong, but they were being cut off from others, forced to isolate. They were in a room, nowhere to go, although probably not 2 meters away from each other. They were shut in, so what do they do? Verse 25 tells us, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were shut in prison, but they were definitely not going to shut up, talking about their faith in the Lord Jesus. They continued to worship. They continued to pray. They continued to share their faith. They just wouldn't shut up. And all the other inmates knew about the faith that they had. God showed up big time. A miracle happened, an earthquake, doors opened, chains were loosened. When the jailer woke up, thinking of all the prisoners had escaped, he was about to commit suicide until Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." So the jailer brought them out of jail and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let me encourage you, when you're shut in, don't shut up. Keep praying, keep worshipping. Keep sharing your faith. People are feeling anxious, stressed, lost, cut off. Let's share with others our hope, our experiences of the Lord Jesus. Be prepared to give a reason for your hope. Love your neighbor as yourself. Although you're shut in, don't shut up. When people see disciples of Jesus living an authentic Christian-like way, they too want to become a Christian and may well ask, "What must I do to be saved?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the world is hurting and feeling cut off. That is true physically and spiritually. We, your people, are not going to stay quiet in declaring the greatness of our God. In this darkest moment, you bring light. In the times of confusion, you bring purpose. In the times of hurt and sadness, you bring comfort. Give us the ability through the eyes of faith to recognize individuals and opportunities you bring across our path. Help us to rely on your strength and not allow fear to stop us sharing our hope in you through our words and our actions. We praise you for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I encourage you to embrace the mission to bring good news of the kingdom of God to the world around you. May you in the coming days and weeks discover the amazing adventure of walking, listening and responding to the opportunities, individuals and situation God brings across your path.
Thanks so much, Gary. We really do value being part of something bigger than us, the Baptist family here in the UK. Thank you ever so much. Last thing we want to mention, this coming Tuesday night, just a couple of days away, we're going to be beginning an online alpha course. Matt and I are going to be running it. We're super excited about it. And we'd love you to come along or to invite somebody to come along. 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Really simple to book in. All you need to do is pop an email through to Matt. His email address is matt.coombs@weltonchurch.org.uk. So I want you just to stop and think about it, maybe chat about it in your small groups. I mean, if you're getting on small groups into Zoom after this morning, just ask the question, who could you message? Who could you WhatsApp? Who could you call? Whose garden fence could you shout over? Who would really love to get an invitation to come along to Alpha? And then either come with them or let them come on their own, whatever works best. Could be somebody local, could actually be somebody other side of the world, it doesn't matter. We'd love to welcome them on Tuesday evening. There's no cost, so please do think and pray with others about that. Last thing, remember, God is not on lockdown. He is alive, he's active, he's creative. So let's expect to go deeper with him this week. And as Gary's been talking about, let's expect him to work through us so that others see the life of God in our lives. God loves you so, so much. I hope this week you realise it even more and tell somebody else about it. God bless.